que equivale a 500 horas de clase y mejorarás tu nivel de inglés. Atrévete a vivir en inglés y verás la diferencia. Infórmate en el 91-133-5833.
And gentlemen, you are listening to...
Here's the show.
Here's the show in the name.
No name.
That's right, amigos. It's the show with no name 2.0 on Vaughn Radio. And we're here with your favorite DJ in the whole wide world. Yeah, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. I can't believe it. An hour has just flown by, and we were over here with Christina and Juan, and they're, I want to say, American kids. They don't sound Spanish at all. And I guess that's what happens when you grow up in a country where you're learning the language. No one will notice that. I mean, I noticed when the kids came on, just the way they said, good, good. It wasn't good. It was good. I was like, that guttural thing, that's the sound.
That's good.
I go, there's no faking it on that. All right, well, guys, we've got some more. We've got another America. Today's America, well, every day's America Day on the show, as your host is an American. But today we've got another American who works in the movie industry. You guys know we always look at movies here on the show, music, movies, as a way to teach you guys English and have some fun. So, guys, please welcome John Cala. The stadium went nuts. We're in a stadium here. How's it going? Welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on the show. It's great to be here in Madrid.
Awesome. Awesome. When did you got in a few days ago, right?
We got in yesterday.
Yesterday
yeah,
you got in
from California.
Here. From California. Direct flight?
Unfortunately, no.
That's why they lost your suitcases.
Pretty much. Yeah, no, we've run from L.A., JFK, JFK, London, Madrid.
Oh, okay. Great. Awesome. And so great. This is your first time. I know we spoke via email, but refresh my memory. Is it your first time in Spain?
First time in Spain, and we're absolutely loving it the short time we're here.
Oh, you're going to – especially if you don't have to work here. Like, if you have to work, it's like every city.
Yeah.
You know, people said, oh, you lived in New York. I'm like, yeah, but I was working all the time. I wasn't looking at the Empire State Building or going to the Statue of Liberty, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And most of the time, you never even visit those places.
Right. I lived in New York. I lived in Chelsea on 28th, between 7th and 8th. And I could see the Empire State Building from my building. From my street. Do you think I ever looked up at the damn thing?
No.
Not once. No. Too busy looking at my watch like, oh, I'm late. I better get my butt in gear over here. John, tell us a little bit about yourself for our listeners who don't know you. You're from the United States. You work in the film industry. You worked on some very well-known films. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How would you describe yourself when someone meets you?
Well, I'm a hyphen, which is a writer, producer, director, mm-hmm. and I'm as well as an author of books. I'm an Emmy-nominated director on a series called Bobby's World, which was with Howie Mandel.
Sure, famous. My childhood. I remember it very well.
I tried imitating his voice, but it doesn't come out right. So
it's a hard one. Well, that's why Howie...
hard.
Oh, not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad.
That's not good, but yeah. Howie was wonderful to work with, as always. Yeah.
I can imagine. Yeah. I can imagine. He just seems like a ball of energy, like, and he's up for anything. Like, he's always playing.
Oh, he is. I had to control him several times.
You had to be like, I know it's not in the script. Let's just stick to the script. All right. So, and what made you get involved in show business? I guess we'll talk about the books and other stuff, but what made you say, I want to work in the industry, in show business?
That's a really good question. Actually, I started out college as a chemistry major.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And my chemistry teacher took me for a walk and said, you're a great student. You're an A student. You can get in labs in 45 minutes where other kids take 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
I said, okay, where's this going? He says, you're out. I said, what do you mean I'm out? He says, you can't come back to my class. I said, why not? He says, you need to find yourself. You're an artist. You're not a chemist.
Oh, wow. So that teacher had that insight. I mean, not every teacher is going to pull you aside and,
exactly.
and tell you that. So
exactly.
that was a lot of luck on your part, too.
Well, it broke my heart because my dad died.
Like,
well, my dad died when I was very young, at three uh-huh. years old.
Sorry, Dad.
And I wanted to cure cancer. Thank you. I wanted mm-hmm. to cure cancer. Mm-hmm. And he heard it and he said, that's very admirable, but not, you're not a pocket pen kind of guy.
Right, right. So, they noticed that by your behavior as a kid, by
yeah.
your likes. And
yep. And that afternoon, I was sitting on the grass waiting to figure out what my life was going to be like. And my friend came down and sat next to me. And she said, what are you doing? And I told her, and she said, wow, that's weird. Why don't you come over to the theater and read lines with us? Oh, I said, I'm not an actor. She goes, no, but we just need a substitute. So I said, all right, I have nothing better to do. About an hour into the reading and stuff, I turned to the director and said, I got to go do my homework. And he goes, you can't leave a rehearsal. I said, excuse me? And I looked at Liz, I said,
What is going on?
What
did you bring me to here? Is this some kind of cult or something?
Exactly.
No one
am I going to be barbecued or what?
Right.
So it turned out I had the leading role in the play.
Oh, wow.
And so I
yeah, because normally your first shot, you know, you're an extra, and you're like, oh, that was fun.
Let me try.
Or
a flower.
Yeah, exactly. But leading role, first time out there.
First time out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it freaked me out.
I was going to say, you were probably pooping yourself.
Oh, definitely. And then within the year, I wrote my first play for the school and performed it on the weekend, Parents' Weekend.
Right.
And it just, for some reason, it felt right. The people were good. I didn't feel
right.
out of place. Mm. And so I got a master's degree in theater directing.
Oh, great.
And I knew I was going to go into film from that point. I had done, during my master's degree, a short film. Mm. And the teacher was a world-famous documentary artist, and she pulled me aside and said, you've either got to be a director of photography or a director. You've got a really good eye.
It's great that people have pulled you aside and guided. I mean, because this is
really,
it doesn't
rare.
Always happen.
No, it's not.
You know, maybe your good friends will be like, I think you got to, but somebody like they're just like, okay, good job, next student.
Yeah, next.
And they took an active interest in guiding you. You
those
know?
Two pivotal points actually turned my life around and pushed me into what I'm doing today.
Right, right. And now I imagine you can't imagine working in a different industry.
Oh, I'd be an idiot.
You're like, everybody pushed me in this direction. I'm here. It's working. I've won awards for my work as well. So tell us, you've worked, again, with some amazing actors and directors and producers. One of your favorites. I know it's a hard one. Worked with some amazing professionals. Mel Brooks. I've got a list here. Excuse me, Mel Brooks. Mel Brooks.
The two Mels.
Gibson and Mel Brooks. Eddie Murphy. Madonna. Yep. I mean, we're talking like, you know, God level.
Jack Nicholson. Yeah. They, you know, it's funny.
Well, you don't even have to say Nicholson. Just Jack works.
Uncle Jack.
Everybody knows him, right?
Well, I guess as a star, people get enamored by them.
Right.
Like, I worked with Robert De Niro also.
This was Raging Bull, right?
Raging Bull, right.
Mm-hmm.
There's a funny story there, but to answer your question.
We're going to write that down. We're going to hear that story after.
Okay. It's probably my only embarrassing moment in the film industry. But anyway, so I guess the takeaway for me is working with all these stars, it was not difficult because when they came on the set, it wasn't that they were a star. They came on as an actor.
Right.
They had a
as
job
a
to do. As a worker.
Right.
And so they respected everybody around. My sets were always very happy. They weren't like finger pointing and
right.
people yelling
well,
at each other.
Well, the actor has to be comfortable in order to give their best performance.
And that's what we tried to do, is keep them very comfortable.
Right.
So it was a delight working for all of them.
Wow. Yeah, because I don't get starstruck too much, but some of these names, I think there would be no way for me to just, like, act normal.
No, well, now that's a good segue into my story with Robert De Niro.
Great.
Okay,
let's hear it.
I'm working on Raging Bull.
You guys know this. It's an award-winning movie, Raging Bull.
Right. So the executive said, I need to get this envelope over to Robert. Mm-hmm. And here, John, you take it over. I said, okay. So I run over to the gym, and he's punching the bag, and he looks, and I hold an envelope up, and he puts his hand up, meaning just in a minute. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there thinking, wow, Robert De Niro, oh, my God, I'm going to actually meet this guy.
Right.
And I was never starstruck, but because he was such an iconic actor, and I really respected his work, he gets out of the ring, he takes off his glove, he puts his hand on it, he says, hi, what's your name? And I'm shaking his hand, and I go, Robert De Niro. And he smiles. He goes, no,
like,
that's my name.
Yeah, right. You stepped on my line there.
And I said, right, John Callis, here's the envelope. Goodbye.
It's funny because in your head you were thinking, you were probably repeating, Robert De Niro, Robert De Niro, yeah, Robert exactly. De Niro. And he's like, what's your name? Like, Robert De Niro. Nope, not Robert De Niro.
Not him.
Wow, that's amazing. And out of all, because you said you've produced, you've directed, what is one of your favorite roles in the industry? Because you've done many.
Oh, my favorite is to direct.
Directing.
Yeah, because I have a master's in directing and theater arts, so I really love working with actors. Mm. But most importantly, I really enjoy telling stories.
Right.
Whether it's comedy, horror, action, adventure, thrillers. I just love telling stories.
Right.
So it's just exciting.
What is a play is a story, a movie is a story, and how you tell it, you know?
Well, you tell it through characters, really.
Right.
You know, a lot of people mix up, I'll just tell a story.
Yeah.
But I don't. What I do is I base it on characters, and the characters write the story for me.
Right. Their quirks, their things make the story, right?
There was another writer that once said, don't blame me for what the characters say. I'm just the vehicle.
Ah, nice.
And
I like
that. That's a clever idea.
I like that. It's true. I think some of my favorite movies, when I think about it, are character-driven.
Yeah.
Or when you're like, wow, this, you know, a silly movie like The Big Lebowski, for example.
Yep.
It's a movie about a guy looking for his freaking rug that they, you know, he wants reparations for his rug. That's the super objective of the damn movie.
Exactly.
But the characters, John Goodman, all these guys are so funny that in the end you're like, you start caring about them and you're not even thinking about what they have to do. You're just following them wherever they have to go because you're interested in them because they're humans.
It's like getting to know your friends. Mm-hmm. You know, first I meet Alberto.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so we shake hands and then we start developing. We go to a movie. We go bowling. We have a couple of beers and
chat,
some wine.
Sure.
Chat. Mm-hmm. You know, cry over the years, laugh over the years,
sure.
Barbecues, all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden we have a bond.
Yeah.
And that bond becomes unbreakable.
Right.
And that's what happens with your characters.
That's what happens when the characters are developed correctly. Sometimes.
Yeah. If it's a car transforming into something, you lose me there.
And, John, let me ask you this, because there's the industry is changing so much, too, now with Netflix. And I feel like they're producing, I don't want to say too much stuff, because it's good that people are producing content. And you never know. It could be the next Back to the Future or Raging Bull or something like this, but what do you think about the way the industry's heading and the way people are consuming movies and series now and everything?
Well, I think it's been driven primarily because of consumers. Mm-hmm. They want more and more and more and more, and they go through a series and they want to binge on a series like Game of Thrones. People want to sit down and watch the whole series.
Yeah.
And so it's forced us into producing more work.
Right.
I think also fundamentally what we have to understand is that the technology changed so much that the anywhere, anytime kind of concept came in. So it wasn't like Saturday, we're going to the movie theater. Yay. And you get a bunch of guys
right.
And you go down there.
Or I got to see this movie because it's going to be on at 10 p.m. on HBO.
And there's no VCRs.
And if I miss it, I got to run home. Right.
So since the technology, I mean, you can watch movies on your cell phone now.
Sure.
So because of that, you're not bound by just going to a movie theater.
Right.
And I think that's what's driving the market to have to produce more and more and more.
Yeah, because I know, like, young people, I see with my niece and nephew, they don't watch things on TV screens. They only look at things on tablets and phones.
Yeah.
So I'm like, these kids don't consume TV or traditional TV or movies the way we did on a big screen or bigger screen in the movie theater.
We have a little home theater downstairs with an 80-inch TV.
There you go. You bring the movie theater to your home now.
Well, that's, but I come downstairs where my son and his friend are, mm-hmm. and they're looking at their cell phone. And the TV's off. And I said, guys, you've got a TV, right? It's like, huge. And you're watching a little
three-screen. You're squinting over there.
Yeah, but we like it, Dad.
Okay. Totally different. Totally different generation. And it's true. I took some film classes. I studied. I got a Bachelor in Fine Arts in theater as an actor. And we got to take a lot of free electives at the end. And I took all these film classes, outdoor, to study outdoor theory. And actually ones where you actually had to make films. But there was no Max or Final Cut Pro. Like, you literally had this Moviola, I think it's called. The one
Moviola,
where you cut.
Yeah, cut.
This
yeah.
big. And I was like, oh, my God. I imagined these great directors, you know, from back in the day, just sitting there literally with, like, you know, miles and miles of tape, cutting it like, oh. And now it's click. Drag, but you know, it's changed the industry, as you said. Yeah. Anytime, anywhere, not just with watching, but also with, what do you want to do? You want to put a unicorn there? Yeah, we could do it right now.
Well, you know, it's funny what you said about putting millions of pieces of tape, film, I mean, hanging, mm-hmm. which is what we literally did in bins.
Right.
And a funny story about Star Wars, the original one, is George Lucas was having a little hard time trying to come up with a name for R2-D2.
Right.
And he happened to look over at his bin, and it said R2-D2, which meant Real 2, Dialogue 2. And he said, that's a great name. We're going to call it R2-D2.
R2-D2. Real 2. Yeah,
yeah, it's fun stories.
Do you know what they call him in Latin America?
No.
Arturito. Little Arthur. They hear, I swear to God, and I was like, you're joking, right? My friend from Venezuela, he's like, no. In Venezuela, it's Arturito, Little Arthur.
Arturito.
Because the R2-D2, when they funny. Say it. I said, are you serious, man? great. So what's your plan here in Spain? You're going to be a couple days. You're going to be in Madrid, which I gave you some suggestions.
Yes, so we took them, and we're going to go to a restaurant that you suggested. And
oh, great.
All the museums, of course. And yesterday, I just wanted to take a nap, but my wife said, no.
Don't play with jet lag. You got to fight it.
But we went out, and we walked all over and had a great time.
Yeah. And one of the good things about Madrid is that, like, I remember one time, I don't know where I was going, to Venice or something, 6 a.m., you know, red-eye flight, and I'm going, you know, I'm in a taxi driving down the street, and the street looked like it was 6 p.m. People were out and about and, like, walking. I'm like, do people sleep in this city? Like, they say New York is the city that never sleeps, but Madrid's a close second there.
Very close. Well, we went to dinner last night. It was 9:30, which for us in California is pretty late.
Yeah, sure.
And the restaurant was sort of...
Here it's early.
Yeah, it's early. And then it was about 10:30, people started coming. And I'm like, okay, I get it.
It's a totally different timetable here. It took me a while. In fact, here's something I learned when I first got here. They say buenos dias until lunchtime.
And buenas tardes.
And buenas tardes right after that. However, for us, since our lunchtime is at 12... And afternoon is technically 12:01 p.m. So I remember I would get on a bus over here and like one, you know, in the afternoon for us. And he'd be like, good morning. I'm like, good morning. But sure, if you don't eat till 2 or 3, your morning doesn't, you know, your morning's a lot longer.
You got to shift it.
So it took me some adjusting over there. But, you know, just get up a little bit later, have breakfast a little bit later, and everything just kind of falls into place. And you guys are off to Barcelona as well, you
yes,
said?
Yes, we're going to go to Barcelona. We'll take the train up to Barcelona.
Oh, it's great. So comfortable.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And then from Barcelona, we'll spend a few days there. We'll see the Flamingo and a couple other things that we plan. Then we're going to fly to Athens and meet about 8 friends to celebrate a friend's birthday.
Oh, wow.
And then we're going to fly over this little island called Paros with them. And we have a house there that we rented.
Cool.
I figure I'll just put bail money down when we get there and figure it out.
Figure it out. That sounds like a plan, huh? What a great vacation you got planned. Well, hey, you got to do it. Sometimes it's where you get your inspiration too when you're traveling, you know, to write things. And speaking of writing, first my question before we get into the books: do you have any free time? I mean, now you're on holiday and you do, but if you're directing, producing, writing books, do you have a lot of free time or not?
That is my free time.
That's what you do in your free time. Okay.
I mean, seriously, if you find a career as opposed to a job, look, what you're doing right now, mm-hmm. okay, you love it so much. I don't think you say, oh, God, I got to get up and go to work.
No, I enjoy. I really do.
And you're full of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell.
I enjoy preparing the content, all of it. Yeah.
And that's not work for you. It's just part of what you do.
Right. It's work because you got to show up. You got to make the effort. But really... I always say after 2 weeks off or 3 weeks off, we could be in Southeast Asia or whatever. I'm always excited to come back here.
Yeah.
Which not everybody. I know most people I know are not excited. They're like, back to the grind.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, geez.
Boy, those 2 weeks went fast.
So, yeah, it's some great advice for people. You know, do what you love to do. And, oh, yeah, it's work because you got to put in the time.
Right.
You know, Because people, oh, you love what you do. I'm like, yeah, but it doesn't just do itself.
Well,
you know,
especially in our business, when you're putting in 12 to 15-hour days, if you don't love it, you're going to go on.
Sure.
It's just too much.
Right. I mean, a lot of people think, you know, filming a movie, just filming a 30-second commercial can be a 2 or 3 day experience.
And I have done that.
And you know, 30 seconds? Oh, yeah, well, it takes 3 days to shoot and 40 days to plan and 50 days to post-produce.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
So when you guys, a lot of people see the finished product of a movie, because it's really easy, but I didn't like that movie. Well, there's a lot more to it than that, right?
But true, you know, to your point, that's a very good point. I'm glad audiences don't know too much about the process, because if they do, then they're going to start saying, well, I'll make an excuse because it must have taken a long time to make that show.
Right.
They should really go there and enjoy it.
Right.
Or not.
Yeah, that willing suspension of disbelief. I'm going to believe what they tell me and just in those circumstances. And, well, great, really interesting stuff. Now, also, now as we said, you've written books. How many books do you have out now?
I have 4 out. A fifth one, I'm looking for a publisher now. And then I've got 6th and 7th already in the makings.
Wow. So, oh my God. Will you be writing a little bit on this trip, or are you going to take a little break?
Actually, it's funny. I told my wife, I said, I'm writing a story that has a lot of basis in Greece.
Okay.
But it's a science fiction fantasy kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, you know what's going to be exciting is when I get to Greece, I'm going to look out at the Aegean Sea, and I'm going to be able to describe it so much better visually than just saying, oh, it's a very greenish, bluish water.
Right. Or looking at some images on Google. Here, you're smelling it. You're
smelling it.
The whole package.
The ambiance makes it.
Right.
And I, you know, I'm in Spain here, and I'm starting to get inspiration. I look at the architecture.
Oh, God,
how the people interact with each other, the friendliness, the love.
Sure.
See, I think the Latino people for me are very much like Brian. I'm Greek, and I find similarities in that they have so much love for their families.
Sure.
For life.
They for food.
Like food.
Food and family go
Maybe
together.
I should have started with food.
Well, food and family are kind of hand in hand. Yeah, you know, you have family and food together.
That's
like the Italians do.
Italian, yeah, mangia.
Sure. Exactly.
But that's, I'm very much embracing the culture here.
Right. Well, I look at Hemingway. He was pretty inspired when he came here.
Yeah.
He wrote books and essays and everything.
Maybe I should stay longer.
Yeah, hey, it's the kind of place, though. Well, listen, a lot of painters, you know, even French. Well, some have gone to Paris, some Spanish painters have gone there, but it is definitely an inspirational place, at least for me, as somebody who loves the arts, who grew up, you know, going to the theater. I've been to Broadway, as you know, when you live in the New York area, you go to Broadway. Well, we used to go because you get the half price tickets. So my mom would come in and, what do you want to see? Cats or the other? And it's cool. I feel very lucky to have grown up, you know, seeing some of the greatest theater that you could see in the world.
Absolutely.
Production quality like you've never seen before. Singers like you've never, you know, just, you know, going right through you as they sing.
When we took our children to New York for the first time with us, we had arranged to see Spamalot.
Okay, yeah, classic.
And I didn't know if they were going to like theater or anything. And I look over halfway through the play, and they just could not stop laughing.
Awesome.
And I thought, got them.
Yeah, what an experience going to the theater. Do you go to the theater often?
Because you said often as we'd like to.
Right. You know, well, it is also, you know, the movies is expensive. Just imagine, you know, now movies, $12 a ticket, the popcorn.
It's $100 easy.
It's $100. It reminds me of when I used to go to the cheap Mets games and Yankee games. It's like, it was only $6.
Yeah,
but you spent $100 on hot dogs and beer, buddy.
That's right.
So you might as well have gotten a nice, like, VIP ticket for that price.
I'll let you in for free.
Right. All right. Well, guys, we're here with John Kalas. I want to urge you guys to check out his website. It's johncalas.com. Now in Spanish, that double L is pronounced like a Y.
Callas.
Yeah, John Callas. But John Kalas, you can check him out on the internet, johncalas.com, award-winning director, writer. Well, I'll say it in the order you have it here. Writer, director, and I'm sure you have it for a specific reason in that
order. I should have been director, writer, but okay.
Well, that's why I started with director, I think, because you said.
But see, what I did, I think, there is I put it in the order that you do it. First, you have to write it. Then you have to direct it and produce it, but
I knew there was a method to your
madness.
I knew it. Writer, director, producer John Kalas. Also wanted to take advantage of the fact that you're here to talk about some idioms, some expressions that come from the entertainment industry, such as cut to the chase, which is a great one. It means get to the point, which comes literally from editing to that good part, to that, you know, that car chase, right?
Yeah. Well, there's also the thing where young filmmakers who aren't experienced, they'll shoot somebody opening a door, walking down the hallway, grabbing the doorknob, and going into the next room.
Right.
An experienced filmmaker see the guy come out of the door, cut to the handle, open the door, and you're in there.
So and you're
taking all that shoe leather out, you know.
Cut
to the chase.
Cut to the chase.
I don't need to see you walk down the hall to open a door. Go from the guy coming into the hall, grabbing the doorknob, you're inside.
Right. If it doesn't help tell the story further, which is you can tell I studied drama.
Yes,
right?
Okay.
Well, now I notice I feel like directors now, it's like, I'm not going to take anything out of it. It's like, yeah, but I remember when movies were 90 minutes, and now the norm is about 2 hours.
If it's the big ones, yeah. We still try to keep them around 90 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. Well, just because attention, we were just talking about the phones and everything.
Yeah.
Attention spans these days are not that good. But let me ask you this. Do you have to get going? Do you want to stick around for another half an hour? You guys tell me. It's up to you.
If you want to keep talking, I will stay.
All right. Well, if you're having a good time, we can chat. Yeah.
I'm always having a good time.
All right. Great. All right, guys. We're going to a quick commercial break. We'll be back in 2 minutes with tons more. So stick around.
That's easy. Use an adjective. An adjective's an adjective. A collaborative describing word that gives your noun some life. Oh, you want examples? That's cool. I'll give you samples. On this occasion, my chosen noun is...
You're listening to Vaughn Radio.
Estás escuchando Vaughn Radio.
You're listening.
Lo que escuchas, Vaughn Radio.
Este verano tus hijos van a vivir un montón de aventuras en inglés. Y sin salir de Madrid, en los Urban Camps tenemos un montón de aventuras y temáticas disponibles y todo sin que los peques tengan que dormir fuera de casa. Tu reserva ya en campamentosvaughan.com. 10 campamentos por todo Madrid. Elige el tuyo. Las Rozas Oeste, Colegio Zola. Mirasierra, Colegio La Salle, Sagrado Corazón. Las Rozas Este, Colegio Europeo de Madrid. Las Tablas, Colegio Estudiantes. Barajas, Colegio Gaudem. Ciudad Universitaria, Colegio Mayor Aquinas. Getafe, Colegio Europeo Aristos. Aluche, Colegio Santa Gema Galgani. Arturo Soria, Colegio Ramón y Cajal. Y Arganda, Colegio 6 Virgen de la Soledad. Infórmate en campamentosvaughan.com.
Disculpe, ¿una gasolinera por aquí?
Excuse me?
Que si hay una gasolinera cerca.
Oh, no parlo español, por favor. Gracias.
Mi car necesita gasolina.
Pero María, no le ves así, que es guiri, no tonto.
I'm sorry, I'm Greg. I'm from Florida, and, well, I'm an Anglo here at Vaughan Town.
No me entero de nada.
Hey, forastero, no te sientas perdido. Ven a nuestro Vaughan Town y multiplicarás por 2 tu comunicación en inglés. Llámanos 91-133-5833 o grupovaughan.com.
No voy a decir estresante, es exigente, pero es muy divertido y la gente es estupenda. La gente, los voluntarios son alucinantes. Yo he flipado con ellos. Yo, gente muy, muy comprometida en ayudarnos y han tratado de hacer todo lo posible porque nos sintamos bien y han colaborado mucho.
Vaughan Town es un programa intensivo de inmersión en España, específicamente diseñado para que hables y hables y hables inglés con nativos durante 6 días, sin escapatoria. Vaughan Town es lo mejor para que consolides tu confianza con el idioma y tu comprensión auditiva sin clases. Infórmate ya en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com.
Una semana en un lugar apartado.
Nativos angloparlantes de todas partes del mundo, uno por cada estudiante.
Terminantemente prohibido hablar en español.
Actividades organizadas y conversaciones en inglés a todas horas. No exageramos.
Aquí o hablas inglés o hablas inglés.
Y da igual las veces que te lo contemos.
Hasta que no lo vivas, no sabrás que Vaughan Town te va a quitar el miedo al inglés para siempre.
Lo que pasa en Vaughan Town no se puede contar.
Tienes que vivirlo.
Ven a Vaughan Town.
Más información, grupovaughan.com.
Campamentos de verano Vaughan, porque aprenden, disfrutan, conviven, juegan, experimentan, hacen amigos y asimilan el idioma de forma natural y pierden el miedo a hablar, abriéndose paso en este complicado mundo de la comunicación en inglés. Cada año más de 3.000 familias confían en nosotros para el aprendizaje del inglés de sus hijos y su desarrollo personal, con una forma de trabajar motivadora y muy personal a través de un amplio abanico de programas que cubren las distintas necesidades de nuestros alumnos. La coordinación
Coordinación Pedagógica de Vaughan asegura un ambiente de inmersión cuidado y de calidad. Ahora con nuevas facilidades de pago, pago a plazos sin intereses y con un modelo de financiación bancaria. Consúltanos. Llámanos al 91-133-5832. Campamentos de Verano Vaughan. 91-133-5832. No lo dejes para el último momento. 91-133-5832.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to...
It's a show with no name.
Gentlemen, that's right. We're here on the show with No Name 2.0. And as I told you before, in Spain, it's not afternoon yet. But in the United States... it's afternoon. It's 12.02 p.m., guys, and we're having a good time. I was just chatting with John and his lovely wife, Linda, over here, too, who's not going to participate. We're trying to get her. We're trying to get her on board. And I told them a little trick here, and that trick is don't order sangria. Do you remember what it is that you have to order instead of sangria?
I do. It's
he wrote it down.
Tinto de verano.
Verano. There you go.
Verano.
Tinto de verano. Because, well, we Spaniards don't drink. Oh, and here's another thing. Paella.
Oh, I love paella.
If you're going to have it, it's a lunchtime thing.
Okay.
Because remember, they have the big meal at lunch. So usually if you have rice at night, well, A, you're going to get filled up. But usually if it's pre-made or something, then it's going to be sitting around all day. So if you want to order like a paella or a rice thing, always go for lunch. That's another little trick over there. Just because... they, you know, at night they have like a lighter, like, oh, we'll just have some baked ham and some, you know, olives and like a lighter thing. So if you want to get the real, real one at lunchtime, definitely. And if I think of any other tricks, I'll let you know. Tricks of the trade. Los Angeles, have you lived in Los Angeles your whole life? Or
no, I actually started in New Jersey.
Okay, right.
And then they thought I had a slight discipline problem, so they sent me to military school at 12 years old.
They threatened me a few times. I got out of it. I don't know how.
You smartened up. I didn't. And then I lived in Virginia for 3 years, and then I went to Massachusetts for 5.
Oh, wow.
And then I moved to Colorado for 3, which was probably some of the greatest times of my life because I found a little mountain town that was at 8,600 elevation. And my house was literally at the end of the road before it turned into the National Forest of Colorado.
Oh, wow.
So I had deer and all sorts of things just walking through my elk,
that's awesome.
Big elks and stuff. It was just wonderful.
Holy. Yeah, I haven't been to Colorado. And that's some place that's like high on my list because I love nature. I'm like, you know, anything that's got a mountain or a lake or like a sunset, bring me there.
That's beautiful.
You know, well, like you said before, for inspiration.
Yep.
writing. You said you're going to be writing here, or half of the books I've written in the Alps. Wow. You know, or at my beach house, you know, my father's beach house, I should say. The beach house, exactly. But always inspired by nature, because I don't know, takes away those city distractions, and you're just like, okay, cup of tea, let's get to work.
You can hear yourself think, there's no phones ringing, you're not on the internet all day.
Right, right.
And then I moved to California in 1973.
73, okay.
I got my master's degree by 75. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be a five-year program, but I was anxious to get out, and the school sat me down and said, we can put you on a fast track, but it's going to break your back. I said, break my back.
Bring it on. Bring it on. I already know your personality, and I already know your answer. I already know what you said. You see how we said we get to know each other? We start forming bonds. I'm like, I know what little John would have said at that point. all right. So, yeah, I California. I lived out in West Hollywood myself for 6 months. I finished college one semester early. And I knew as an actor, I'm either going to live in California, in Los Angeles, or in New York.
Yeah.
You know, where the most of the work is. And being a New Yorker, it was tough for me to live out. And obviously, I was in the center of Hollywood, too. So it was very, very different than New York. People, I mean, it's almost like another country, if you think about it. 3,000 miles separate.
Yeah.
You know, in Madrid and New York. Well, 3,000 miles separate L.A. and New York, too.
What years were you out in Hollywood?
I was out there in 99. So it was right before graduation, and I graduated in 99. So, and I remember, yeah, it was awesome. I loved every minute of it. The national parks there, Joshua Tree, these beautiful places. No, California is, I think, I don't want to say it because New Yorkers are going to get pissed off, but one of the most beautiful states out there. It really is.
Well, New York has its own personality.
Sure, sure.
You know, they don't claim to be Garden State like New Jersey or a flush like California.
We're an empire.
The apple.
The empire state.
Right. Don't forget.
The empire strikes back.
Or the Death Star.
It's true. But hey, that's cool. That's why when people ask me, a lot of times it happens. We were talking with our previous guests about, you know, stereotyping and generalizing. I'm like, when people ask me about Americans, I'm like, well, that's a very, like, you know, broad question, because I have friends in Tennessee that are nothing like I am.
Oh, no.
We don't even sound the same. Mm-mm. You know, you look at us and you're like, these guys are not from the same planet.
Now, y'all want to go to dinner?
Yeah, now, where y'all going?
And we get the fishing pole and going to go get some fish.
We're going to go fishing down at the lake. Hey, it's good. We always work on accents here. We play with accents. We actually have a section where we listen to famous people speaking. And, let's do it. Now, usually, guys, I have you write down what you hear. But today, since I didn't play it for you, all you have to do, we're not testing your English here today. Since John's here, we're going to test your knowledge of movies. So today, you do not have to write down the text, okay? Your teacher's going to be lenient today. But I do want you to tell me who it is or what movie it's from. So let's do today's Say What?
Say what? What?
That's right. Well, I just thought of something I got to tell you, too, just in case you didn't know it. I like teaching. You can tell. Spanish or English, doesn't matter. I like learning, too. Well, in Spanish, do you know how we say break a leg?
No.
I'll tell you a funny story so you'll always remember it. Break a leg in Spanish is mucha mierda. Do you know what that means?
Muchas mierda.
A lot of shit.
Yeah, I was going to say mierda.
That sounds like shit. That sound exactly like what you thought it was. Exactly. And I remember going on auditions when I got here, and people say, mucha mierda. I'm like, they're very competitive here. Wow. I'm like, this is, wow.
I hope you slip and shit and break your leg.
Well, you know what it is? There is a reason for it. Before cars, they used to go to the theater on horses and buggies.
Ah, so you step
in. So if there's a lot of crap in front of the theater, a lot of shit, as they're wishing you, your show was a success.
Wow.
So it's a good way to remember it.
That's nice.
So, but at first I was like offended. I was like, really? Wow. Okay. I was going to say, because they don't say rompe una pierna. They don't say the literal break a leg, but they say mucha mierda.
Oh, that's smart.
They're wishing that the horses come and that there's tons of people outside under the marquee.
So maybe we should change break a leg to slip on oil.
Slip on oil, right? I hope you hit slip on an oil slick.
That's right.
Another one, a couple I wanted to look at too, to be in the spot. Spotlight, another one that comes from show business. I don't like being in the spotlight. This comes from theater, literally.
Yeah.
If someone's not in the spot, well, someone's in the spotlight, all attention is on them, right? So
exactly.
They say in Spanish, estar en el foco. Same one, a foco is a spotlight. So that expression is the same.
Foco meaning focus.
Yeah, basically. Focus like from a, exactly, yeah. And one of my favorite ones, that's a wrap. Which is means or let's wrap. It means let's finish.
Yeah, we're done.
Does that come? Is it because they used to wrap? I mean, I'm asking you. I'm putting you on the spot here, but I have a feeling. Doesn't it has to do something with at the end of a production? You wrap something up and take it away. Is it the reels of the film or something?
Maybe.
I don't know. See, I love that one. I love that one. A showstopper. There's a good one.
Showstopper. Gaffer. Now, there's a term.
Gaffer.
Now, I can tell you the history of the word gaffer.
Yeah, tell us. Yeah, okay. I love to learn
just
this stuff.
For your audience's sake, a gaffer is the gentleman who works with the director of photography who directs the lighting people.
Okay.
So he tells them pretty much, I want you to put this size instrument here, this size light over here.
Right.
In the old days, the gaffer was a guy that literally had a stick with a light on it, a match, mm-hmm. and he would have to light the lamps.
Oh my God.
He gaffed them.
See, guys, there's a reason behind it. Yeah, I always tell students, I'm like, you want to learn some real, like, specific English? Watch the credits of a movie. I love the explanation of the word trailer, why they're called trailers. They used to trail the movie.
Yeah.
They used to put them on at the end of the movie.
Yep.
Now they know that you won't stick around.
You're gone.
They're like, all right, we're gonna put it at the beginning, even though it's called a trailer. And that's another big word. Because actors are in their trailers as well.
That's true. And they argue if they're 3 feet shorter than the other one.
Is that true about all those little contracts? I mean, of course, we're generalizing, but these little contract stipulations sometimes can get quite
I'm not going to mention an actress named Demi Moore because it's unfair.
But Demi Moore.
I think it was on A Few Good Men. She found out Tom Cruise's trailer was 3 feet longer.
Oh, my God.
And she threw an absolute fit. And I was sitting with Rob Reiner when the AD came in. He goes, what is she doing now?
Oh, my God.
And so they had to get her a different trailer.
But how does that affect your performance? That's my question. Like, are you going to do your acting is not going to be as good or you just it becomes an ego thing, I think, at that point.
I think it becomes an ego. They all start out wonderfully committed with passion for their art. Mm-hmm. And Demi Moore, just for the record, is a very good actress.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they get to be spoiled by us on the other end.
Well, they're used to getting what they want, especially if they're big draws.
Exactly. And so they start to forget the simple things. And then they get caught up in the, I'm as big a star as him. I got same.
Why is my name 3 inches smaller than it? You're like.
Exactly.
Because we needed room on the poster for everyone. So,
They're a necessity, an evil necessity.
Right. Well, it's hard. It's hard in that industry. Everybody's kissing your butt, so to speak, because you're Tom Cruise or whoever.
Yeah.
Well, sure, you're still going to start being like, I don't like that water that you brought me. I think I'll have a different kind of water.
Exactly.
You're like, all right, I created a monster.
and on the other side of it, that monster also is what's going to drive you box office.
Absolutely.
Like if Demi Moore's in a show, people are going to say, I want to see that. So there's an attraction that she brings to the table and a cachet. So I think at some way,
it's a
trade-off. Right. And I guess those small amenities, you have to give in a little bit to them.
Right.
So if that makes her comfortable, you want to make sure she's not frustrated and it's going to show in her performance.
Sure.
So
that's what I said before. About you said your sets, you always create a very comfortable environment, where people can be themselves and do the best work.
My wife has a really great story about that, but she refuses to talk.
She refuses. Oh, man.
Still tight-lipped.
Okay. So no Tinto de Verano for you today. All right. Well, guys, since we love learning with movies and music here, let's listen to this movie clip from one of my favorite movies, and let's see if you guys know what movie it's from. I'm sure you're going to know
it. I hope
it.
I do.
I'm sure you will. If not, I can whisper it to you. All right, Juanjo, vamos a escucharlo por la única vez hoy, por favor.
The whole world gone crazy! Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the rules? Mark at zero!
They're calling the cops, man. Put the piece away.
Network?
No, no. Let's hear it one more. ¿Lo puedes poner una vez más? I'll give it to you guys one more time.
The whole world gone crazy! Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the rules? Mark at zero!
They're calling the cops, man. Put the piece away.
All right, so I'll give you a clue. I mentioned the movie before. I said it's character-driven, that the super objective, the actual story is kind of ridiculous if you think about it. All right.
It's one of his favorites.
Linda knows it, but she doesn't want to participate.
I don't remember.
All right, well, I'll give you a clue. The big...
Lewinsky.
The Big Lebowski. The Big Lebowski.
Lewinsky.
The Big Lewinsky. That's a different one.
That's a different
I think that was the porn version of it. That's a funny one. Oh, man. Yeah, this is The Big Lebowski. This is John Goodman.
Yeah, John Goodman.
Have you worked with...
I have not worked with John.
He seems like a... Well, everybody who works with him, they say he's just like a pro, you know? You could tell he's a tremendous actor. John Goodman and the lead role, Jeff Bridges. Jeff Bridges, who plays the Big Lebowski. I don't think they had any idea what a cult now following this movie was going to have when they made it.
I met Jeff's father, Lloyd Bridges.
Lloyd Bridges? Oh, wow.
I went up to him. I said, excuse me, sir, I don't mean to be rude, but I kind of grew up with you, and I just wanted to know how much I loved your work. Oh, and he took my hand, shook, and said, that's so nice of you to say that.
Oh, wow. So he was as cool as he seemed.
Very cool. Very generous.
Lloyd Bridges. Wow. Talk about a legend.
A legend.
Lloyd Bridges. Wow. All right. Well, guys, yeah, it's the Big Lebowski. And this is John Goodman going nuts, as his characters tend to do. He says, has the whole world gone crazy? Has everybody lost their minds? Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the rules? Now, this is during a bowling tournament. And one guy steps over the line a little bit.
Oh, boy.
And he's like, no. And he's like, mark it zero. You stepped over the line. And he's like, mark it as eight. And they start arguing. And he pulls out a piece, which is another word for gun. A piece is a very American way to say it. He pulls out a piece and he goes, mark it zero. And then the Big Lebowski, the character played by Jeff Bridges, says, they're calling the cops, man. Put the piece away. And it just reminds me, I have friends like that, too, where I'm always like, can you just calm down because you're attracting attention over here? And the reason I chose that today is John Goodman's birthday.
Ah.
Today, John Goodman was born in 1952, along with Nicole Kidman.
Mm.
So Goodman and Kidman. I guess anybody whose name ends with M-A-N today, who works in the entertainment industry, and who else? And we got Lionel Richie as well, which is why we looked at, did you hear what the
I
kid?
I heard, the singing.
I couldn't believe they knew it. I was like, okay, let's see how this turns out. And they knew the words.
They did really well.
Thanks to movies. What do you think of this phenomenon, that a song kind of disappears, then it comes out in a movie, and all of a sudden this song is like number one on the charts again, a whole new generation discovers it?
Well, I guess it tends to bring the emotion to a movie. So if it's a good song, it becomes a timeless piece.
Right, right. And people associate it with the movie. Like, some songs are more associated with the movies that they were in than the album that they were officially or originally on.
Do you ever notice how you can remember every word of a song 10 years ago, but you can't remember what you had for breakfast 2 days ago?
Absolutely. I noticed it, too. Because the other day I put on, like, some song I hadn't heard in years since, like, I was 15. Every single word, every nuance, the pause, and I'm like, oh, wow. And then somebody said, what'd you have for dinner? I'm like, I think octopus, but I'm not too sure.
Food. I had food.
Because we don't give it that much importance, but movies? Do you remember the first movie you saw?
I do.
Yeah? Which one was it?
Pinocchio.
Pinocchio.
And
wow.
I vowed to try to figure out how his nose grew.
You're like, I'm going to find out how they did
that. Didn't dawn on me it was animation.
You're like, must be special effects
must
or
be something.
Something
cool. These actors look a little stiff, but all right.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, I remember mine was a cartoon, too. My first one was Bambi.
Ah.
And I had the same reaction as Linda. Did anybody not cry during Bambi over there? What a manipulator it is. Oh, and I wanted to talk, speaking of Disney, you've designed a lot of different logos, teasers as well for some huge companies. In fact, one of my favorite, I don't want to say one of my favorite ever teaser for a production company was created by you.
Which one?
The TriStar Pictures with the unicorn logo. With the Pegasus.
The Pegasus. Just to be clear, I didn't design it. The studio had made a painting.
Okay.
And then they presented it to me through Interlink Film Graphic Design, who I was hired to do the production on.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said, I want everything in this picture live action. I don't want anything fake. So how are you going to do it? And I looked at him and said, well, I guess I better start by finding a flying horse.
Yeah,
the whole room cracked up laughing. He goes, all right, smart ass, except for the flying horse, how are you going to do it? And I said, truthfully, I don't know because you're asking all these elements. We shot it in every film possible, 70 millimeter, Super 35.
Wow.
I mean, all these different
stuff. Just to try the...
No, it was necessary to get all the elements.
Oh, wow. Okay, I didn't...
It took me about a year to put that project together.
Oh, wow.
Still the most expensive piece of set of film ever created.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There were like over 100 composited elements. This is old school where it wasn't digital.
Yeah, now it's not like a computer. You're like, just, I want this frame out and this one in and...
Well, it's also your BiPack Mac. Matting everything.
Okay.
We would take one shot of the sun coming up in white, then in blue, then in red, then in green, and all of these different
So formats. Everything's matched up correctly.
Then you had to squeeze it.
Right.
Then I had to figure out how to get a horse to run the length of a football field in a straight line without moving.
Oh,
and stopping on a mark.
Holy.
So
yeah, because an actor, you're like, hit your mark, and that's
your mark.
Right.
Well, the guy told me if we put a piece of black felt on the floor right before it, the horse will stop. Because they think it's a canyon. They don't have depth perception. I said, well, how do we get the horse to run this way? He goes, I'll bring his girlfriend.
Oh,
you have the girlfriend by the camera.
I was like, women food.
And as soon as you turn him around, you run out of the way because he's going to run to his girlfriend to be with her. And sure enough, every time he would run there.
What a cool... Guys, you know what we're talking about. The TriStar
logo.
The TriStar logo. I think the first time I ever saw it, now that I think, because I think I enjoyed it as much as the movie. I say it because I really enjoyed the movie, The Natural, with Robert Redford. And I remember seeing it. I was in Puerto Rico, too. And I just remember the first time I saw that, and I was like, this is awesome. I thought it was part of the movie. Sure, because the first thing you see is this
horse coming,
this
out of
horse
the clouds.
Coming at you with wings. I don't think there's one person who didn't see that or who... Do they still use that?
They do.
Okay. I wasn't sure if... Because I haven't... Like I said, I haven't seen too many movies recently, but I wasn't sure if it was still in use. So it is.
It's not in every Sony picture, TriStar kind of release, but...
All right, because TriStar is now Sony, TriStar.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Gotcha.
Fold it in.
Right, right.
But that's probably one of my most cherished pieces that I put together.
It's awesome. And you know, again... People look at it and the magic that went into it. Okay, you shared it with us here. But most people just see that and they're like, that is awesome. But they don't know how many hours, days, months.
Well, we built
big decisions had to be made.
We built a giant set to make all the clouds. And then behind it, we had an 80-foot by 100-foot painting of the sky and little wispy clouds in it.
Oh, wow.
And then I had to go to Hawaii and film literal clouds so that we could fill those in.
Oh, took so us there's a week. Movement of the clouds. Yeah. Sure, sure.
Then when it was all together, the executives looked at it and they stood up and says, I like it, but it's not done. And we all went, excuse me?
We can't do any more special effects than we've done.
they said, you know where the hoofs are? I said, yes. Said, we want you to separate clouds as he runs through.
Oh, God.
So it took me another 3 days. I had to build this huge box on a soundstage, cover it in this very expensive black velvet, and then we put fog, very high-dense fog, so it stayed there.
Yeah.
And then a guy would run down the side with a flag, and it would separate in the middle. So when the horse ran, it looked like it was separating.
Oh, my God.
A lot of technical stuff.
Guys, you're going to want to watch that now after the show. I want you guys to watch the TriStar Pictures. And then you're going to look at it in a totally different light now because you're going to know all the work.
It's actually on my website if they can't find it.
The website, guys, again, is johncalas.com. As I said, he's done so much and still going.
Still going.
Writing books. Do you have any other film projects coming up? Or
two of them, actually.
Yeah.
Two of them.
That you can tell us about, of course.
There's a novel I wrote called Christmas Voices.
Okay.
And I'm trying to get that financed right now. The budget's done, the schedule's done. We just need the money.
Okay.
And why I wrote this is I put a blend together between A Christmas Carol and It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay.
Because I found in today's world people have forgotten the important things in life, which is really family and God.
Mm.
And I just thought, how do I do this? How do I remind people? So I created a Scrooge character that started out very poor in a farm, became one of the richest men in the world, has a lovely family, loves his family, but he ignores them because of his businesses.
That sounds familiar. That's a story we hear every day.
And something happens. I don't want to give away everything.
Sure. No.
It's
no
Christmas spoilers. And he has to find his way back and realize that the value of everything is lost if you have too much money and don't understand what's important, which is your family.
Right. You lose sight of really important.
So it brings back the feeling of magic and miracles and a real strength that if you believe strongly in something, it can happen.
Well, and that's what movies are all about in the end.
Exactly.
You know, family. What is every movie about? Whether it's a mafia movie, whether about a family unit of some sort or lack thereof. And how they deal with that. But it all revolves around this element of family, whatever that family. It might be a jail family. It might be a... But fascinating stuff, guys. I can't believe that's an hour gone by right there.
Well, I wish we were here longer for you.
Yeah, well, hey, next time, stop by. Anytime you're in the area, as we say in the United States, too. Mi casa, su casa.
Gracias.
All right, guys, check out his website, John Callas. Also, his books are available now. I was supposed to have some in my hand, but thanks to... We won't say the airline, but thanks a lot. Stupid airline.
I have 3 Spanish words for them, but I don't want to say it on the air.
Yeah, see, you learn the important ones,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Do you remember how to say break a leg?
I do. Muchas mierda.
All right. All right, well, guys, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for being here, and we'll be back tomorrow with more. I promise. Bye-bye.
Cause you know just what to say. And you know what to do, and I want to tell you so much.
El programa El VIP es un programa que comienza el domingo y finaliza el viernes, ¿vale? Desde el domingo a las 9 de la mañana hasta el viernes por la tarde, en torno a las 5 de la tarde.
¿Cómo un aguantado?
Efectivamente. ¿Eso? Porque realmente este programa, además, es que se asemeja muchísimo a los programas que tenemos de adultos y en empresas. Ya se aleja mucho de los programas más para niños que tenemos, campamentos y ese tipo de cosas, y es muy parecido a los programas de adultos que tenemos. Por eso lleva un formato muy similar a On Town o eso, a los programas que tenemos en empresas. Entonces, efectivamente, es un programa residencial en el que los chicos van a dormir allí, por supuesto, siempre con nuestros profes, ¿no? Y nuestro coordinador del programa. Tienen su habitación individual con baño, o sea que es todo un lujo de instalación. Y sobre todo es que es intenso a tope. O sea, van a estar... No es broma.
Desde que se levantan...
Intenso y durillo, ¿eh? O sea, que no van allí tampoco a tocarse la barriga. No
les metamos miedo.
Oye, también es...